This is London Calling.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Big Smoke Music Weekly. Well, Dave, hello, mate. How goes it?
Good evening.
Good evening. It's been a while. I was just showing off to Dave my new light that I brought to do interviews on from now on.
Mate, you're glowing right now, literally.
It's a bit ego boosting, Dave. I've got to admit, because
it's like those mirrors models have when they've all the lights around them just to make them look good.
That's essentially what it is. It's just a ring of light, and I used it today in my meeting at work, and everyone was like, "Mate, have you been out in the sun? Like, have you look like you're tan."
Luke, you're looking really good, mate.
I know. I put it on. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gorgeous. Honestly, you can put this over a bit of roadkill and you'd be like, I'd eat that.
That's me.
It's really bad. It's got a few settings, Dave. I've run you through. It's got warmth. It's got a blue light on it. It's got everything.
What are you going to use a blue light for?
I don't know. You know, watch this space. I might be a...
Time will tell.
I might sack off the podcast and become a vlogger.
So, nice, mate.
All because of my light. But yeah, Dave, it's been a wild few weeks. We've had many things go down in our lives. You've started a new job.
I have, yeah.
Dave's loving
it. So if my brain doesn't really work, then that's why.
Yeah,
capacity is low.
The thing is, Dave, you say that and you blame it on the new job. People would be wondering what the fuck's been happening in the previous episodes.
Well, that's very true.
That was when he was fine in his normal job. But yeah, Dave, I thought we should start off because you went to a gig the other night and I hear you were up on the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes to my friends. Well, I don't say a company. I do like the band myself. To a nice metalcore gig while she sleeps. Oh, mate, it was one of the best gigs I've ever been to, honestly. It was such a small venue. So we've seen them at Brixton Academy and Roundhouse before. They're like, but they played Underworld in Camden, which is tiny. And it was literally like no rules. There's no security guards, nothing. And I was like, I'm not missing out on this. I fucking crowd surfed, jumped on the stage. I actually found a video online, which I could see myself in it as well. So.
Underworld, I can imagine, is a very good venue because it is a proper metalhead pub, isn't it? But
yeah.
I have to say, mate, I just do not get I can't get my head around that music. I reckon
it's an acquired taste. Definitely.
If I farted into this microphone, that's basically what it sounds like.
Doubt it, mate. Try it.
It's just... And that is what my farts sound like.
What have you been eating? Christ.
Sprouts, Dave. Sprouts. Yeah. But the... it was weird because that night, I was actually going to message you saying, do you want to come to a gig? I ended up going with 4 pints Ollie because through Harry, I found out you were going to that gig. I went to go see the Vaccines at Electric Brixton.
Oh, sweet.
The night you were at Death Metal Central. And, oh, mate, they played a lot of their new stuff because it's kind of like new album time, Back in Love City. But, yeah, oh God, they were just so good. I mean, I don't think I've ever come out of a Vaccines gig and said it was shit, but it was... Beautiful, man. So good. We went for a couple of bevs afterwards and we went to the Prince Albert, Dave, and we had a pint with two blokes that went to the gig and I was like, God, this feels normal again.
This takes me back. Yeah, yeah.
It just feels normal. It was great. But yeah, I suppose, Dave, that brings us on nicely to being back in the old stomping ground, that is Brixton, when we went down to the brilliant Wide Awake Festival. Three weeks ago nearly now, which is ridiculous to think. It was just it was a really good day out, wasn't it? Because obviously we'd live around there and we knew the area really well, used to walk through the park all the time, and it is really weird going to a place that's really familiar with you that suddenly is not familiar.
Well, it's that whole thing. I mean, going back and like seeing things changed as well, you're like, oh my God, look at that, oh look at that. But it was nice to be back. It was a great day, perfect weather for it. I mean, Christ, got so lucky, didn't we?
Yeah, it was really good. One of my favourite moments, it was just before you got there when I was with Harry and we went to the bar and he's like, oh, I just need water. Like, I just want to get water. And he went up and it was like little cans of water were selling. And he looked at it and he looked at the bloke and he went, sorry, mate, I'm not paying £2.50 for a can of water. That's a joke. And the bloke just goes, yeah, fair play. Just gave it to him.
was weird though. They didn't have any cold drinks at the bars. What was that about?
Yeah, it was a bit. That was the only thing, wasn't it? It was.
Yeah.
I suppose it was good in a way because all of the independent breweries were rammed, weren't they? Because they were the only people serving fresh pints. Yeah. And they were the best of pints. But yeah, weirdly, all of the main bars were just cans of what looked like room temperature shit, yeah. Basically.
Not really what you want all the time, is it?
No, exactly, man. But saw some brilliant acts. I saw a bit of PVA. You saw their whole set, didn't you?
They were really good.
Yeah, that looked really good. Then who else did I see? Porridge Radio. But, mate, we'll come on to who we interviewed in a minute. But I have to say, I went to go and see Self Esteem, just because I've been listening to some loads. A bit different, slightly poppy, but... She was so good, man. I absolutely loved them. Like, she had a group of, like, a dance troupe with her on stage. And I don't know why, it just absolutely blew my mind. They played in the big top 10. And I was just stood there like... you know, sometimes when you see something, because it's so different to what I usually see live, it, for some reason, completely twisted my melon.
Yeah. It's also like that you said, not what you're expecting. And you're just like, what the hell is this? What's going on?
Yeah,
is this real?
But yeah, she's called Rebecca Taylor. Her second album, As Self Esteem, is coming out on October 22nd. It's called Prioritize Pleasure, Dave. So give it a listen. But there's a couple of singles she's had off of it already. I do this all the time. It's an absolutely brilliant tune. But she was in, do you remember Slow Readers Club?
Yeah.
Around like 10, 12 years ago. She was with them originally. She's been around the block, but it's quite, even from that to Self Esteem is quite like, quite a big jump. But yeah, I'm just, it's weird, man. I keep listening to it. I'm listening to it being conscious of the fact it's really different and something I usually would not go near. It's really weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
But I quite like that. It's like an unexpected thing that I've really got into. It's been good. But Dave, I think we should hear from the boys that we've been waiting to speak to for what seems like 12 decades.
Yeah, something like that. Since we were last in Brixton. Yeah.
A long time. Well, me and Dave were back on our old stomping ground, and these boys were returning for the biggest homecoming show they'll probably ever do, I imagine. This is what happened when we caught up with Josh and Eddie from Shame.
Big Smoke.
In focus.
Boys, how are we?
Great. Hello.
Very, very good.
Mate, you're telling me you've been seeing some bands, but you've been struggling in the sun.
No, yeah, my legs have melted. but it's been fine. I don't know, been looking for the sun for a long time, so it's good to have it.
I overestimated it today. I thought it was going to be a lot hotter than it was, so...
Yeah, I stayed at home for a while today, sort of sussing out what the weather was going to be like, and I still think I've dressed inappropriately, but...
Black is a poor choice.
The sun's not long until it goes down. So.
I mean, if
you're in a 9:30, so you'll be fine.
If you were wearing my trousers, man, you'd be in a nightmare.
They look like a little sweat box.
They're quite thick. Yeah. They are quite thick. So, the first thing we want to talk to you about, because it's weird, for me and Dave, we live together up the road in Upper Tolks Hill.
Nice.
But it must be weird for you guys. Dave has a question for you.
Like, how does it feel to be almost a homecoming and where you started at Windmill is now a main stage at a festival. How's that feel?
I feel like you're like a crown and achievement was for.
It's great. I didn't know that the stages were going to be the size they are. I thought the festival was actually going to be quite a lot smaller than it is. So it's pretty incredible.
I thought they'd make it like the same size as the Windmill stage. I thought they'd kind of like try and recreate it.
They just recreated a Windmill like in just like a little
tent.
They'd
get a big dog on top of it. But it's amazing. I think it's great that like the Windmill and like acts that have come through the doors of the Windmill over the years and now like forming a major festival lineup. It's wicked.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think what you just said there was so true, because I think everyone was not expecting a festival this big.
No.
It's weird also to be down the road from our old house. It's really awesome.
Yeah.
So many people.
Yeah.
So who are you?
Basically, you're saying you want to play in front of 10 people, is that right?
Yeah. They'll probably all leave before we play, I think.
Exactly.
We're a bit too late.
Exactly. So, guys, we went to Latitude. We know you were there. We did see you play live. And we saw you dotted about the whole weekend. It was bizarre. We were in the guest camping. Just so weird seeing you guys walk around. I've got to ask, because Dave's done it. He's been guilty of this. Does Charlie ever get fed up with people just shouting Sheen out?
I don't know. I think he quite likes it. I think, you know, it's...
We talked about this before, and I literally... I can't remember what festival it was. I just seen him, and I just, like, blurred out, Steen! And I didn't think... And he's like, all right, mate. And he just comes over and talks to you. And I'm like,
he'll always say hello. He's not... He's got time for people. Yeah. He's all right sometimes.
Decent, man. Decent. Yeah. So, Tell us about how the year has been then for you guys, because obviously that was like probably your first biggest show back at Latitude, but you've got this tonight, you've got the tour ahead of you, so like, do you feel like you're alive and kicking again?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we went from being really, really busy to being not busy at all for a very long time, and now it feels like we've been thrown right back in the deep end, which is good. I'm ready for it. Yeah. It's a bit overwhelming sometimes, but it's, you know,
fair play. Good. And on the way up, because like we, by the way, boys, you have far too much airtime in our podcast. We talk about you all the time. But like, I was listening to you on the way up, and it's weird. Me and Dave became mates over the past few years, and weirdly, your debut was like a defining album when we became like proper good mates. Weirdly, just so happens, it's very cute. Let me tell you. But like, how do you have you found the second album's gone? Because that was like the first album was like a proper cult album, but then you've gone up a level with this second album as well.
It's hard to tell. It's, you know, when you're not playing shows, it's kind of like, do you like it? And then people come up to you, like, yeah, we like it. And then you play the songs live, and they like it.
Only having done a handful of shows like in promotion of this latest record, it's really difficult to quantify like how it's gone.
I think now that we've done like 3 full capacity shows, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, you're finding you're getting different reactions off different songs, or like you're a bit surprised.
There's a few that I didn't think would like land with people that are, which is really always really nice surprise. Yeah. And the songs obviously like over time take on a slightly different incarnation when they're played live. So like getting this record live ready was an experience in itself.
I think for me, Station Wagon is my favourite tune off that album, because that was like, that's quite live. Well, I think, yeah, why so?
I don't know. I think because when we first started thinking about doing live shows, we always kind of assumed that like Station Wagon would be one of those ones that it was like a, would have been a bit too difficult to pull off properly, but we just gave it a stab and we're like, okay, that actually
we
really...
We just took the piano line, and me and Eddie just sang the piano line.
At the more intimate shows, it was a bit awkward because like when we were doing socially distanced gigs in clubs to like sometimes as little as 25 people.
Fuck that for a laugh, by the way.
I mean, it was fun, but like you'd see people kind of like giggling a little bit. They'd just be like, wait, are they actually fucking like doing like fucking angel harmony shit? But on the bigger stages, it seems a little bit less funny and more like,
I wanted to ask as well, because like, as I said, we talk about you a lot on the podcast, and because we have a lot of like, it's like a lot of post-punk alternative sort of stuff, but you guys seem to be have like taken on the mantle of the like the front runners of that scene at the moment. I mean, you're headlining tonight. Do you guys ever think about that as a thing, or are you just kind of doing what you're doing and it just so happens you get put that tag on you?
I guess it's weird. When we started, there wasn't really many bands in London playing now music on guitars that much, and now there's loads. So it's definitely a thing, but you know,
it's definitely all because of us, is what we're saying.
You guys are the founders of guitar music, right?
We didn't know what it was until we.
I guess we stole it from America and then we're like, we're gonna do it.
But
you know, as you know, other people have come and
say you at the start of it, like what brought you to play that kind of music then?
I think it's just something we all grew up listening to, and I think I don't know how well qualified I would have been to do anything else.
It was a bit of an accident, I guess. I think we were like started and wanted to be like the Stooges. And then
we realised that's actually...
Is that why Charlie's got his fucking shirt off all the time?
Yes. It is.
I think he would have been like that anyway, really.
Yeah, fair play. But it's quite interesting because I think we're roughly the same age. It's quite interesting because when we all kind of were coming to and waking up to music, it was like in the bands like Pin Detectives, Arctic Monkeys, all that sort of stuff. So is it quite weird to think that you're that for a new generation of fans coming through?
I often thank the Lord every day that I could be in any way compared to the Pigeon Detectives.
What a band, by the way.
Those guys laid the foundation, not just the Pigeon Detectives.
Pigeon Detectives are wicked. A lot of time for them.
Fair play. Yeah. I've also got a question from a listener. This is the worst question you might ever be asked in an interview. When was the biggest time you felt the most amount of shame?
That's not
going out. It's like my mum's listening.
I don't think your mum's listening.
No. It's quite a heavy question, isn't it?
It is. That's I mean, it depends how far the shame runs. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I think you've You've probably done some weird stuff.
I pooed in a bottle once in a park. On Q Green, and then my friend posted it on Facebook.
Oh, that was so.
And his mum was like, "Theo, please take this down."
This is disgusting.
And it was like my butt, and like a poop coming out of it. So.
Amazing. Do you know what the way you stuttered over that story when you said it was in on Q? I was like, do you mean you shat on Q or was in Q?
It wasn't in the gardens, luckily. So
oh, thank you. You escaped the tropical paradise.
Exactly.
Amazing. So anyway, one final one, guys. I mean, tour coming up. We sold out a date at Brixton. That must be so surreal to be at Brixton and just playing to a crowd that big, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be great. It's lovely to do a sort of local venue. Really excited for it. It's
surreal to be in Herne Hill playing to a lot.
Yeah, I know. That's
you're telling me.
Yeah.
Brockwell Park.
Used to come here when I was a nipper.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
Okay, that was our chat with Shane down at Wide Awake Festival. And Dave, that was just after I had a massive bowl of paella. And I was so conscious. I was like, oh, I've definitely got loads of coriander stuck in my teeth.
Nice bit of garlic breath.
Yeah, I was like,
for the boys.
I remember shoving about three bits of Wrigley in my mouth before we had that chat. But it was so nice to catch up with them. And like, as I said before, we threw to the audio there. How many times have we spoken about Shame on this podcast, and how much have they like made an impact on us in the last few years?
Yeah, massively, massively. I think we almost like, I don't know, made him a bit awkward because we kept saying it, like, oh thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who are these weird fanboys? Like,
who are these guys that are definitely fans but who are also interviewing us? But it was just really nice. Obviously, we spoke to them about being in Brixton, and that's where they earned their stripes, wasn't it, at Windmill? They played so many early gigs there. And it was really funny to hear them say they were like, we turned up. We didn't expect it to be this big.
Mate, that would be well good though if they recreated the windmill in like a tent or something.
That would be amazing. Yeah. But I mean, I don't even know how many times I've seen Shame now. Quite a few times now, but that was probably the best time, I reckon.
Yeah, I think always the first time you've seen him was the favourite for mine. Kentish Town, that was pretty sick.
Was special. But this was
special in its own right, because it is like, it was like a perfect little crowning achievement for them, like where they've been on their journey. So
exactly, man. It was just, oh, it just felt like we had it last year, and we've had it gigs since life's been back to normal. It just felt like a proper euphoria to it, didn't it? It was just like, yes, Shame, baby.
Definitely.
So good. And as well, on the train on the way home, this was another I mentioned earlier, going for the pint with the randomers in at Prince Albert in Brixton after the vaccines. On the way back after Shame, it was just like the late train out of London is always just full of pissheads.
Yeah.
This guy came up to me. I was sat on a table, and he came up to me. He's like, all right, fella, I don't know why fuck I brought these, but you're more than welcome to have them. And he brought this huge tub from M&S, and they were like the little Percy Pigs, right? But like white chocolate cereal bites with like chopped up bits.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I was a little bit pissed. I was like, oh, nice one, mate. And they were like still sealed and everything. I was like, why the fuck did you buy them? I was like, and it was like an hour journey. I was like, oh, I'll see what they're like, mate. I need to go see a dentist because it was just pure sugar. There was nothing.
Yeah, good. I could imagine. I could imagine, actually.
Grim. Sort of shit that you'd love as a kid, but oh my God. I was like, oh, no.
I love those train rides home. I mean, I was on one last week from Bournemouth for stag do.
Oh,
came
God,
back.
Yeah.
And it's similar. In fact, these boys came up to me and were like, oh, mate, you ain't got any cans on you, have I? I was like, no, mate, no, sorry. He's like, I'm going to find some. I'll be back. And he just sort of stormed off. And he comes back and actually gives me one. He's like, okay, mate, promised you. I was like, oh, thanks.
What time of day was this? Was this late?
This is like 10 o'clock. So he was on one, I think. Yeah, I think he was probably going out in London, maybe. I don't know, it might be the other way around. But
oh, God.
Yeah, he was definitely on one. And I was like, I can't believe he actually came back and like, purposely, like, here you go, mate. And I was like, oh, thanks.
Hey, it's weird, isn't it? It's those little things that I think, like, when we had lockdown, that's what everyone kind of realize that they missed, like those stupidly weird interactions you have with complete fucking randomness.
Just being social with people.
Exactly,
you know?
Mate. Beautiful, man. Beautiful. But anyway, Dave, shall we have our tracks of the week?
Let's do it.
All right.
Luke and Dave's Tune of the Week.
Okay then, Dave. You can go first again, because I'm very kind.
You are, aren't you? Right. First up, I'm going to go with Girl by Grandma's House.
Whoa, what a raucous affair this is.
Little number, isn't it? A little number. yeah, they're from Bristol, all female. They called themselves Queer Punk. Ugh, can't speak. Queer Punk Trio. Say that 10 times.
Hashtag new job. New job?
Yeah, exactly.
New job. Mate, I really laugh. I had heard Grandma's House before, but I hadn't listened to them for a little while. When I put this on, I laughed because I don't know why. I just thought of the name of the band. I was like, if I played this at my nan's house, she'd kick me out.
yeah. It's just definition of if like you could make a really good song with only having about 5 lyrics in it. So
exactly. That's kind of what like punk's all about, though, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't need to make any particular sense. Just sounds good and it's quick.
Yeah.
What have you got next for us then, Mucker?
Next up, I got Talk Show's new one, which is Underworld. She said, can you feel me daydreaming? I said, you said all the things you meant. Shows a force leading a horse to water. Shows a force leading a horse to hell. You think I drink the darkest night? I only close my eyes twice. You sold your soul, but you don't need mine. I sing the songs, you say the lines. Yeah, their new one. Obviously, we've played them a lot and talked about them quite a bit on the pod before. Quite, you know, dancey, electronic. It's kind of following on from their last one, which they did with Eli Brown, which is collaboration.
Dave, I knew what you meant.
Collaboration.
Don't worry.
But yeah, they've obviously gone down like a bit more of a dancey route, which is, yeah, it's good. I like it. It's quite like punchy, but it's still got like the, you know, kind of typical talk show guitarists in them, which I like. So
yeah. Okay. But when I heard, I thought about the track with Eli Brown as well. And it's weird how their last couple of stuff is kind of Harrison Swan, lead singer's kind of toned his performance down a little bit. I think that's not as like up there in your grill. But
yeah, definitely.
The music itself is more so.
It's almost like, yeah, they've kind of maybe leveled them out a bit.
So yeah. So it's going to be interesting if that's more of a route they go down. Again, I mean, I've said it many times. As you said, we've spoken about them a lot of times on the show, but they are definitely one of the bands to see live, aren't they, at the moment?
Yeah. Well, talking of that, I'm seeing them at Oslo Hackney, which is one of the reasons why I picked them. So
delightful. When are they playing there, Dave?
I think they're there at the 1st of October, so not long now.
I know.
It's getting to that, like, great period where I always remember these periods. Like, I think autumn was my favourite one, where it's just gigs, like, constantly.
Yeah. And then
it's nice when you're planning them ahead, and like, oh, we've got that lined up. We've got that, like, in the can. So
yeah. And then you'd go home from London to your parents' house at Christmas and just be like on death's door.
Yes,
I've been to 20 gigs every week.
Yeah, I do remember one December being like back to back for like a couple of weeks, a few weeks. It was pretty intense.
Oh, good times, man.
We love it, don't we?
Exactly, that's what it's all about. What's your final number, Dave?
Final one is another live band I'm going to be seeing soon. John times 2 with their new song, Non-Essential Hymn. So this is a new one. I really like this. It's kind of like maybe a bit progressive. Like it's, you know, a lot of breakdowns and instrumental sections, but you know, it's, they've got a really distinctive style that I really like. So yeah,
it's just stuff. Got balls, isn't it? It's
yeah, just, definitely.
Like it's got that bigger balls. They just gone fuck it. Yeah, we will call ourselves John.
Yeah. But yeah, they're playing Moth Club on the 22nd of October, so that's another good one coming up. And this is a funny one. So I bought these two tickets for me and my mate Harry, and our mate Harry, sorry, should I say. And I said, he's like, who are we seeing? I was like, John. He's like, is it just a guy called John? I was like, no, it's two guys called John.
It's
like,
John, oh. John plural, actually, mate.
It's like, it's a knockoff of Dave, basically. It's like, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, nice. Nah, he'll love them. That'd be class, man. All right, yeah. Dave. Well, now for my three. What shall I play first? All right, let's have this one. We'll go with throwing a pen around the desk. Let's go with this one. This is Bilk and Billy Big Bollocks. I love this band, Dave. Every song is just so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just great, isn't it? Do you remember? And we spoke about these before, ages ago. I can't remember what gig we've been to at Scala. It might have even been the Snutch, you know. And they were outside handing flyers out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I remember that.
That
yeah.
was them. And so, yeah, they've been around for a couple of years now. And I did feel sorry because they've had a couple of singles out, but this one came out. And I thought of that time. And then I was like, they were starting to get some like really good like press kind of at the beginning of last year. And then how many bands would have had that? They were just on the ascendancy and then bang, see you later.
Yeah.
Have a bit of COVID in your life. So yeah, it's great to see that they're releasing stuff. And I love the artwork for this. It's just a mocked up driver's license with everything blurred out other than the signature of B Bollocks. Just remind me of McLovin from Superbad. That one came out on September 17th on Scruff of the Neck. So yeah, big stuff to come from them, I think. All right, in at two, this one from a band we had as our guest, Dave, was our Big Smoke in Focus guest on episode 2 of season 4. This is TV Priest and Life Size. Yeah, man. Love this one. Again, probably one of my favorite bands this year. And they've got a shite ton of gigs coming up, man. They're playing Sound City up in Liverpool on the 1st of October. Then in London, they've got a couple of dates. They're playing with Egyptian Blue at Lexington, one of our favorite venues, on the 17th of October. Then on the 19th, they've got a headline show at Shacklewell Arms as well. It's a good time. I'm hopefully going to go down to Heartbreakers in Southampton and see them on November 4th. Loads of good gigs coming up there, by the way. I'm basically just going to have to live at Heartbreakers for
just
a
live
bit.
There.
Yeah, man, like Fur, and I can't remember all the others off the top of my head, so I'll come back to you on that one, Dave. but Magic Gang are playing down in Southampton soon as well, so I'll be seeing them. So, yeah, man, good times. I just love TV Priest so much.
Yeah, you do. They're definitely your favourites.
They're just like, yeah, I think for me, they're just kind of the right amount of heavy. That's probably my limit of heaviness. Yeah, that's why I like it. Keep a lid on it and don't play it underworld. Okay, and my number one is this one from WH Lung.
Yeah.
This is them with Figure With Flowers. Dave, I bloody love this band. This came out on September 15th, and they've got a date coming up, November 15th at Scala, and this is from their upcoming new album, Vanities, which is the follow-up to Incidental Music, which came out a couple of years ago, which is an album I absolutely rinsed when it came out. But they are one of those bands that you really need to, like, kind of end of the night, if you're by yourself, headphones on very loud. They've just got such like a richness to them. And this tune, yeah, if you really crank it up, it's just, oh, beautiful, man. I really want to go see them live. But yeah, that, I mean, their first album was brilliant and it got like loads of critical acclaim. So get into them if you can. And as I said, look out for that second album, which will be coming out next month. All right, Dave, that is all we have time for on
Lucan Dave's Tune of the Week.
Wunderbar! Okay, time for another feature and a great chat I had the other day with one of Close Up's brilliant artists. This is how I got on when I caught up with Molly Coddled.
Close Up, 60 seconds.
Molly Coddled, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So in some circles, Molly, you've been described as the absolute queen of the Close-Up roster. Is this true?
Oh, well, you know what? I have to agree. I am the queen. What else would I be? I sound really up my own.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, just to picture this, Molly is telling me this with amazingly pink hair and just the most regal beam ceiling behind her.
I do have pink hair. It's not a new thing. But, you know, I just did it one day and I was like, you know what, we roll, we vibe.
We roll with it. But yeah, Molly, thanks for coming on, because I've been listening to you quite a bit recently. I think probably since I couldn't make it because of my brother's wedding, but since I knew you were playing 110 above, because I usually go there all the time. And Sam was in my ear about, oh yeah, check her out. So yeah, I've been listening to you a lot, but it's like, it's quite an addictive sound you've got, because it's quite like very easy and nice on the ears. It's got that nice intimate feel, hasn't it?
Thank you. I'll take that as a massive compliment. Yeah, I mean, thanks for listening to my songs. But yeah, it's kind of just music that I make to enjoy, you know? So like, I just like chilling, and I'm chilling when I'm writing my music, so it ends up being chill, you know?
Yeah, I was gonna say, because we speak to a lot of people on this podcast, and a lot of time it's like, oh, so-and-so did me over, or this has pissed me off. But that definitely is something that struck me, that I've only been speaking to you for 2 minutes, and I was like, if she's not lying on a beanbag when I'm talking to her, I'll be very surprised.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't have a beanbag, but there is a chair with a really big cushion on it over there that I could be sitting.
Cushion, beanbag, sort of same thing. But yeah, I was when I was looking today as well, Molly, I was laughing because I looked at your Instagram, and it's made me laugh so much. The thing in your bio: I produce indie pop for people who want to dance and cry simultaneously.
Yeah, I mean, so, am I wrong?
You're not. Weirdly, I know exactly what you mean. But for those people that haven't yet heard you,
yes,
please explain that.
So basically, like, I write all my songs and I'm crying, so that's that part. And then, you know, I try and make it sound a little bit more exciting, so it sounds really sad when I first write my music, and then I'm like, okay, like, I need to make it so that people actually listen to this, so then I'm like, okay, let's add in all these little bits to make it fun. So basically an amalgamation of really, really, really sad lyrics, and then really happy instrumental, and it comes together and you can dance and cry at the same time while listening to my music.
I like that. Do you know what? That happens a lot. I've said this a lot to Dave, who I do the podcast with. A lot of the time, like, I think we have that with a lot of our favourite songs, don't we? Could be in like a festival or whatever, like belting out the lyrics, having the time of my life, when really it's about someone's nan's died or something. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. I know exactly what you mean. All of my songs are so sad, but you know, I've just got to get over that and just forget about what I actually wrote about, just so I can perform it, you know.
Now, Wavelength was the last tune that you released. That came out in June, didn't it? So,
yeah,
I think that was probably the one I've listened to the most, to be fair. But compared to your other stuff, I'd say that's like, it shows off quite a soulful side to your voice, I'd say.
Oh, you've got like, thank you.
Because there's loads, because you sometimes I can hear a bit of like Georgia Smith in your voice. then it switches to like Liliana, and it's quite a different range. Is that like, do you go into a song thinking, right, I'm doing this today, or is it just what feels right for that particular song?
I don't know. I think the Lily Allen kind of vibe, because I don't know, but like, I used to listen to Lily Allen like a lot when I was younger, but then funny story, my mum like took the CD off. I bought a CD of Lily Allen, my first ever CD. I used to listen to it all the time in the car. I was like probably like 6 years old, and my mum took it off me because we were listening to it, and then she was like, oh God, like she had just clicked in your head like what the lyrics were about. And obviously I didn't know because I was young, but I was sat there listening to songs about, like, you know, there's some pretty raunchy stuff going on in Lily Allen's music. But yeah, I mean, if there's like, there's probably like a bit of Lily Allen just like in me, you know, from that. But yeah, I think my voice, like, it just changes depending on my mood, so it just changes, you know. If I'm, it depends what mood I'm feeling when I'm in the studio, you know.
The chameleon voice, what can we say?
Exactly. Just depends.
Amazing. So yeah, end of last year as well, you had the Halo Effect EP come out. Have you got anything in the pipeline that we can expect?
Yes, I EP have.
EP-wise, album-wise?
Top secret stuff here.
Oh.
That no one knows about yet. I have a new song coming out on the 22nd of October.
Awesome.
It's about feeling like all your friends hate you, and it's called Lonely Bitch. So look forward to that. All my lonely bitches out there, here's one for you.
Nice. Do you know what? I felt bad for laughing then, but that song title really is doing exactly what it says on the tin, isn't it?
Yeah. And I was filming a music video for it actually this morning, was filming some scenes. And I'll show you, like, there's a load of inflatable aliens over there.
Amazing, look forward to it. So you got some dates coming up as well. You're playing Yes in Manchester, great venue, by the way.
I am indeed.
Love that place. And Molly, I will try, hopefully I'll be there. 10th of November, you're playing Camden Assembly with Phoebe Green, aren't you, for Dork magazine. That's going to be cool. Have you been to Camden Assembly before?
I haven't. I've been to Camden, but I've not been in Camden Assembly.
Camden Assembly is a great venue. It used to be Barfly, I'm pretty sure, but way back when. But it's Camden Assembly now, but they have some fantastic lights, I have to tell you.
Oh, some good lights.
Some great lights that will be behind you. So try not to get distracted during the set, is what I'm telling you.
That's cool.
All right. Keep your eyes in the crowd. Don't get lost in the lights.
I'll try. Maybe I'll put some sunglasses on.
Just giving you a heads up. But yeah, it must be great playing with people like Phoebe Green as well, because she's kind of like massively established now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's so cool, and her lyrics are just so great. And yeah, I'm really excited for that show. Also, Joey Maxwell's playing, he's super good too. So yeah, I'm just like really excited because I get to see these people for free, you know.
Exactly, the bonus of playing live, right?
Like, I get to go to a gig and see these people for free instead of paying. So, you know, I'm playing, but also, like, I'm really excited to see them.
Right, I think we should get into the close-up 60 seconds. So
okay, hopefully
most people do beat the 60 seconds. So, you know, I'd be really disappointed in you if you don't.
Okay, stress.
I might even cancel this whole interview if you don't.
That's so mean.
I mean,
I can't believe you'd do that.
Yeah, I'm just putting loads of faith in you here. I like you, Molly, but if you fuck this up, there's gonna be trouble, okay?
I am trouble. Trouble, that's my middle name. So, you know.
Molly Trouble Coddle. That is a tongue twister.
That's look on the birth certificate. It's there.
That would actually blow my mind if it was genuinely.
Do I have to prove it to you? I'm not getting out. I'm not showing you.
Oh dear. Right. Anyway, shall we get into 6 seconds?
Let's do it.
Number one is your guilty pleasure song, and why?
I would say Baseline Junkie, but like, I'm not actually guilty for listening to that, so I'm going to take away that answer. And I'm going to say, take a hint from the Nickelodeon show Victorious, because, oh my God, I'm talking. Oh, I'm next question, take a hint from Victorious.
Right, that was a quarter of your time gone.
Oh, come on.
You're panicking. On. I've never even heard that song from, it's fine, you're on 15 seconds at the moment. Number two is, why should people add Molly Coddle to their playlist and become die-hard fans?
Okay. Well, you just should do it because you can listen to my music when you're sad, or when you're happy, or when you're drunk, or when you're sober, and you know what? You can pretend I'm there with you. So when you're listening to Lonely Bitch when it comes out, you can pretend you're not lonely because you pretend I'm there with you. So it makes you less lonely.
Gosh, right, that's 32 seconds.
Oh God.
Yeah, the pressure's on now.
But how many questions left?
That was like, a very true response. That's probably what I would have said about why it's wide clothes, because you're the woman for all seasons. Okay, number three is your best meal deal combo, sarnie, snack, drink. Okay? One, okay. Two, three, go.
Oh, well, I'm vegan, so it's hard to something vegan, and there usually isn't a sandwich, so probably sushi, because that's usually the only vegan option, and then maybe some seaweed crisps, because they're funny, and maybe some orange juice in a carton, because I'm 5 years old.
Bosh, that was amazing. That was if you ever want to know what it's like being inside Molly's head, that's what it was.
That is it. There was no filter, there was no thinking.
Just a stream of random thoughts.
My consciousness on paper.
One quick question. Seaweed crisps, they're funny.
See, you laughed. What? They're funny.
Are they?
You just laugh.
I'm laughing because I'm like, are they funny?
They're funny to eat. It's like I'm eating seaweed and it's weird, but it's funny.
I'm with you. They are a bit weird. They are good though.
Yeah, exactly. Good.
Yeah. It's like prawn toast, the little seaweed you get with that.
Yeah.
Not that you do that because you're a vegan, but anyway.
I love seaweed.
Number four, right, about prawns. Molly, just a word of warning, you have 14 seconds.
Oh my God, we've got to be fast.
I mean, I've got to be fast, you've got to be fast.
I've got to be fast, I've got to talk less.
Exactly, right, ready? Number four is, what would you do if you weren't in a band?
I'd probably be on my parents' sofa, chilling, or I'd just be a cat woman, but I'm allergic to cats, so I can't do that.
Okay, that again, another ramble. I love that one. That was even better. You'd be a cat woman. Brilliant.
Yeah,
I love cat woman. Like you'd be a mad old cat woman, or cat woman, yes. Like a superhero cat woman.
Oh, mad old cat woman with lots of cats. Nice. But I'm allergic to cats, so it's not gonna happen.
If you did have a superpower though, what would it be?
Oh, is this part of the questions?
No, you can have this one for free.
Oh, I'm not being timed. if I had a superpower, it would be unlimited money.
What? Because, and that would have you'd end arguments. Shut up, I'll buy you.
Well, also just buying myself things like food, because lol, I'm broke.
Yep. Just think about how many packs of seaweed crisps you could buy.
Oh, that's a lot of seaweed.
That's a whole ocean's worth of seaweed crisps.
That might be quite bad for the environment. I might get blamed.
You take it. So, what you would buy the world's supply of seaweed.
I could
to turn into crisp form.
Yeah, but then would it go moldy before I could eat it all? Or
you've always got a freezer, right?
Freeze the seaweed.
Yeah.
Oh, it might.
You'd have to buy
weird.
A lot of freezers though. It's not, and then that's also bad for the planet. It's just a vicious cycle, really.
It's this just whole not plan very good.
It's not very
no.
good.
No. Let's take it back.
Okay, so at the end of all that, you'd just be a mad old cat woman.
Yep.
Perfect. Okay, you've got 7 seconds for the last one. So
okay,
I think
we can do that.
You'll be able to nail this. You'll be fine. Right, okay, you ready?
Yes.
Describe your live shows in 5 words.
Comedic, colourful, fun, sexy, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Actually, on the minute. Literally, I'm not joking. On the minute.
I am so good.
Take
what
a bow.
What can I say? I've done
Take
it.
A bow. Exactly. Right, Molly, we're going to give Wavelength a spin, if you want to introduce it for us.
Well, this is Wavelength, and it's about hating the internet.
Big Smoke Music Weekly.
But at least I have my phone.
Right.
I don't wanna have fun behind the screen. Cause no one on the internet is as happy as they seem. Nobody's on my wavelength.
I try to make friends, but I don't fit in.
Cause we don't like the same shit.
Life's fucking boring. When will this end?
Don't wanna leave complacent.
I don't wanna sit in school. I don't wanna be zen. Back in school when they asked about my
Close Up are a London-based national live promoters, booking agent and record label. They showcase the best indie and electronic talent nationwide across live shows and festivals. They've been endorsed by DIY, Dork, Jägermeister and more. Head over to www.closeuppromo.com for the latest events, artists and listings. Big Smoke Music Weekly. God, what a ruddy packed out show, Dave.
I know, mate. Chocker.
Bloody chocker block, son. Oh, mate, do you know what? It's a very sad indictment of my life becoming an aged thing now, Dave. Next week, I'm dog sitting for 2 weeks, and this follows two separate weeks where I've had to cat sit for people.
I was going to say, is this your new job?
Pet sitting? I'm getting paid a grand a day. It's great.
Mate, I'll do it with you. Split money.
But it is for the legend that is Ollie Scans, so I don't mind doing that. But by the time this episode comes out, it would have been his 16th birthday, would you believe?
16. Old boy, isn't he?
What a grand old age. And Dave, have I brought him an outfit? Yes, I fucking have.
Yeah, I was going to say, what are you doing to celebrate then? Come on. Tell us a lineup.
Well, I had a gag ready. I was going to, because he's 16, I was like, oh, it's about time he got a Saturday job. So I was going to buy him this outfit that made him look like you stuck the dog's head through and it was like a little shirt and tie. And then he was like holding a little parcel. So he looked like a delivery man. But it was like 3 weeks delivery or something stupid. So I couldn't get that. So I was like, right, what can we need to have a party for his 16th. This is a dog I'm talking about, in case you've got confused.
I was going to say, Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. So we need a party. We need a fiesta. So I've brought him a sombrero and a poncho.
Nice.
That is all for this time. We'll be back in a bloody jiffy, I'm sure. But in the meantime, take care, guys. We'll see you soon.
Ciao for now.
Ciao for now.